Good morning. Glad you're with us on Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. There's fairly widespread agreement that access to reliable, high-speed internet is crucial to success. Businesses need it to deliver value to their customers. Students and teachers need it for effective education. Doctors and patients need it for quality health care. Researchers, police, elected officials, librarians, scientists, everyone needs it. No wonder dissatisfaction is growing with how and where high-speed internet is available in the Baltimore region. Fiber optic networks surrounding the city, but almost none in it. Whose responsibility is it to make sure Baltimore's businesses and residents have access to high-speed broadband? That's our question this morning. Charlie Carter is executive director of Maryland Working Families, a nonprofit that advocates for working-class families. It's generated a protest movement called Where's Our Fios that accuses Verizon of redlining Baltimore by not providing in the city the same high-speed fiber optic broadband it provides in the suburbs. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And also with us is Philip Spivak, co-leader of the Baltimore Broadband Campaign, which calls for a public entity to lead the way to bring faster, cheaper internet service to Baltimore. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Philip Spivak, when we spoke about a year ago, you said that Baltimore, quote, had not had an articulation of a vision and a plan, close quote, about broadband. Is there a vision now?
No, I don't think there still is an effective vision. The point our campaign's making isn't necessarily there has to be a public entity that's leading it. It's that there has to be some effective entity that's leading it on the public's behalf. So that can either be a municipal utility like Baltimore City, or it can be an entity acting on behalf of the city, such as a nonprofit that is outside of the city. And I think when we talked before, it was before the city had come out with its task force report. So the good news is that there has been a mayor's task force report on smart cities, and there's a consultant, Magellan Advisors, that the city's paid close to $250,000 for. That's good, but we think it falls short in not articulating, number one, what's the city's role in this? Are they going to lead it? Are they going to facilitate it? Or are they going to stand on the side and someone else is going to do it? It doesn't articulate what the vision is for the plan, clearly, in which we do agree that this has to be build the fiber out as far as you can into the city. And then finally, there's no clear organizational structure. Who's leading this? Who's executing it? Who's implementing it? So we hope that that will be an intermediate step to get to that place. But this has taken a long time to get this far, and we're disappointed it's going so slow.
Charlie Carter, you were quoted in the Baltimore Brew as basically saying, too, that the draft report that the city issued in June falls short. Why do you think so?
Well, in addition to what was just said, there's no mention of how residents in the city are wired, will be connected to broadband. It talks in detail about connecting libraries and educational institutions, schools, and but doesn't really say any much about business and doesn't say anything about residents. And we see broadband is not, it's not an add-on feature. It is something that's going to be essential to participating in a 21st century economy. And we cannot, you cannot put forth a vision that says we're going to have a smart city, but leave the residents of that city out.
Am I right that you essentially accuse Verizon of redlining?
Yes. Verizon has, they drew a red line around Baltimore City. When you look at the map of Baltimore, there are neighborhoods that adjoin in the county and the city, same demographic, same economics, but they've chosen not to build in the city, even though they pledged to do so by 2010. It's a track record that Verizon seems to have, that they've also done the same thing in cities like Boston and Buffalo, cities that are comparable to Baltimore City. So the question is, with $47 billion in profits, why they couldn't build out in some communities like Baltimore City.
We asked Verizon to join this conversation. They declined. They sent us a statement that I think you've seen elsewhere. We've posted it on our website. They essentially dismiss your protests, Charlie Carter, as an attempt by the union, the Communications Workers of America, to influence the ongoing contract talks. They said, quote, "Where's my Fios? is a campaign orchestrated by leadership of the Communication Workers of America and its special interest supporters to try to gain an advantage in negotiations with Verizon for new labor contracts. The timing of the July 29th event, a protest that you staged, fewer than 4 days in advance of the expiration of the existing labor contract is evidence enough, close quote. What do you say to that?
I say that that also discounts the fact that the Smart City Report was just released, that we have been working on this for a couple of years now, and also that we're in the middle of a political campaign season. So now is the most effective time to make our city leaders listen and come up with a plan, and those people who want to lead our city, for them to propose a plan that will connect all of our communities to the 21st century economy. I think Verizon has a lot to answer to. If they want to link this to their contract negotiations, that's fine, but it doesn't answer the question of why they've not lived up to their commitments to build out Fios in Baltimore City, why they've continued to redline, why residents of Baltimore City are paying surcharges for the build out of Fios in other districts, but not able to access that here.
What is the Communication Workers of America's relationship with Maryland working families and with this protest?
We have gotten financial support from them in the past, but we're an organization that is largely supported around the country by labor organizations because we represent the workers that they also seek to represent.
I'm WIPR. This is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Charlie Carter, Executive Director of Maryland Working Families, and with Philip Spivak, co-leader of the Baltimore Broadband Campaign. Again, to this question of why Verizon has or hasn't done what it's done, they told us it's a business decision. Quote, as we have noted since 2010, Verizon's focus is on completing our remaining fiber network build commitments under existing video franchises and increasing sales to homes and businesses in areas where our all fiber network is available. We're not looking to pursue new video franchises or expand our fiber network to new markets at this time. Charlie Carter, do you think it is a business decision?
I think that anything can be rationalized as a business decision, but it's up to our leaders and it's up to us as the community to challenge those business decisions. We've given money to an entity, Verizon, to build out and supply our communities with high-speed broadband internet access, and they fail to do so. So I think that it's tough to say when you have $47 billion in profits that you cannot invest a portion of that into a build-out.
Philip Spivak, is Fios the only option for fiber optic broadband?
No. So we don't focus as much on, is it going to be Verizon who's going to help or Comcast? And in fact, to us, it's a bit of a distraction, and it may not be the best solution. So what I mean by that is our thought is that what would be optimal is to have a fiber network in Baltimore that's neutral.
Is to say not owned by a provider?
So that means that either the city owns it, or it means that an entity that is working for the city, such as a nonprofit outside the city, owns it. What it really means is that if it's open, it means multiple internet service providers can supply services over it. So what we think is better is to get beyond, we call them two myths. One is that the Comcast franchise is holding this up. The TV franchise has nothing to do with it. And the Verizon issue is an important issue, but they're not the necessary solution to the fiber, to bringing fiber into Baltimore.
And in simplest terms, what is the necessary solution in your view?
Well, the key thing at this point is for the city to declare its role. We want to hear the mayor say what their position is, because I think that is holding up progress. We don't think the city will choose to run a Baltimore broadband utility like in Chattanooga is an example. But we need the city to say that or not. We need the city then to say, what will be the entity that will be empowered to represent the citizens of Baltimore. We're suggesting that that entity be outside the city. We think that it can be set up and implemented faster.
You mean geographically outside the city or outside the city government?
In a business relationship. So as a nonprofit acting on behalf of the city's interest. We're not in this for wiring up just five neighborhoods in North Baltimore. We want a balanced plan throughout the city. So what we hope to your question is that the city would establish what their role is and would acknowledge an entity that would act then on the city's behalf.
But I still don't see where you envision the investment money coming from, that what will be necessary to make a fiber optic system.
Yeah. So the dollars are going to come in a few ways. First of all, an enormous contribution of the city can occur by establishing a dig one policy. That means when they dig up your street that they put the fiber down. So you reduce the cost of what you need to raise by about 70% if you take advantage of public projects.
Charlie Carter, does that sound realistic to you?
Well, I think my question has always been about where that investment comes from. Where does the money come from to get it started? I agree with Philip that, that short of Verizon building out its network, having a public network would be a great alternative as long as we're reaching every community. I really, I'm really hesitant to say that push forward with a plan that would only allow, certain communities to have access to it or to have access to it first while other communities lack behind. I think that just mirrors many of the problems that we have in this city to begin with.
Lots to think about. Will you keep in touch with us as this develops?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you both. Charlie Carter is executive director of Maryland Working Families, which is protesting Verizon's refusal to bring high-speed Fios Internet to the city of Baltimore. Philip Spivak is co-leader of the Baltimore Broadband Campaign. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview there, too. I'm Sheila Cast, ahead on Maryland Morning. Movies. Stay with us on 88.1.